Hey, Micah, I have a special guest with us today.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
Can you guess? I mean, this is work, right? So I had to bring my kid into work.
Oh, is Adam here with us?
I think he is. Adam, you want to say hi?
Hi.
Hi, Adam. Hello.
And guess what Adam did? He watched the episode.
No way.
Yeah. The whole thing.
What'd you think of it?
Good.
Yeah? Yeah? What was your favorite part?
My favorite part was the Mr. Poop thing.
Okay, that's my favorite part too, so we're practically twins.
What was Mr. Poop's real name?
Mr. Shrew.
Good job!
Look at you! Wow, I'm so proud.
And what did you say you would like to do if you had a day in the office? What was the activity you would want to do?
The shred thing.
Yeah? Like, can you tell Micah about that?
Like, when you, like, shred the things.
The paper?
Yeah.
Yeah, like with Pam?
Yeah, I wouldn't want to do that.
Okay, so I have to tell you, that is exactly what I would want to do, too. I have a paper shredder, and it's, like, the best part of my week when I get to shred paper in it.
So this was his first episode of The Office, and he kept asking me if it was real. And we had to explain what fiction is, but they're real people with a real video camera. And so that was a little different for him because I don't think he's seen really like live action, like regular TV or movies.
Well, and some people, some adults even think that it's real at times.
Yeah.
Like, is this a real show? So I understand that for sure.
That's true. Do you want to say anything else to Micah before you go?
Go where?
Well, I'm going to keep working and you're going to go play games with Daddy in the conference room.
Why?
You're going to go make corn husk dolls. Does that sound fun? Do you want to tell Micah anything else about the episode that you liked?
I also like the candy part.
Yeah.
When like the the big kid like picks the candy.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, cool. That is fun.
I'm really glad you paid attention and you watched the episode with me. That was really fun. Well, Adam, thanks for coming to work.
Yeah, thank you for joining us.
And don't worry, when we publish the episode, I'll play it for you. Does that sound good? All right, can you say it's quitting time? It's 5 o'clock.
It's quitting time. It's 5 o'clock.
All right, say bye, Micah.
Bye.
Bye, Adam. It was so great to talk to you.
So, Micah, did you like our special guest?
It was
good having a kid in the office, huh?
Yes. Okay. So here's the deal is that when you said, whenever you sort of intro'd that, I then thought that I heard Kelly breathing on the phone line, but then I realized that it wasn't Kelly. It was Adam. And I was so excited. And, Adam is so adorable. And I feel honored to have finally got to have a chance to chat with him. And I'm glad that we both would be the office shredders. That's for sure.
Yeah, he really did dig that part. He watched the whole thing. I was very proud of him.
That takes a lot of work.
Like it does.
If it's not if it's new to you and if you're a tiny child, both of those things come together to equal like, I would rather be doing anything else right now. But that he watched the whole thing and like retained a bunch of it. That's great.
Oh, I know. It was great.
Making a little office fan. It's fantastic.
So it's bring your daughter to work day, but not all of the kids in the office today were daughters.
Correct.
And so since I didn't have a daughter, I brought in my son. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we start off by Pam has a mission for the day.
Pam
right?
really, really, really just wants to like connect with a kid because mm-hmm. she is wanting to have a child of her own potentially. And she wants to sort of, I think, prove to herself and maybe to others that she can totally pull off this whole parenting thing.
I only have one goal today, to make one kid like me. Just one.
But I have to say, Tiff, this is one of those moments where she's taking a cue or a play out of the Michael Scott playbook. And you should never, ever, ever, ever take a play out of the Michael Scott playbook. She's overthinking things. She's chasing the bone like a dog chasing a bone, mm-hmm. just like Michael does. And it kind of makes her a little bit, I don't know, if I was a kid, I'd be getting some weird vibes around her and would probably be staying away.
Yeah, the presence of the kids kind of show us a side of almost all of the characters that we hadn't seen before. Because people act differently around children. They have different feelings towards children depending on where they are in their life. So we see Pam having like this really needy, you know, like grasping for the kids to like her. She's putting out all this candy, you know, she's a little bit more active and speaking like than she normally would be. And then we see like this other side of Michael, which is so different. Like we see him actually working today.
Yeah. Right? He's on the phone. He's like talking about, and it's all makes sense and is good. The things that he's doing.
Yeah. It's like clear, boring office work, like standard getting the job done day in the office from Michael. So it was really strange that on a day that we would expect there to be tons of character and whimsy and fun and jokes and antics, we're getting a really, really serious grown-up Michael in reflection to having the kids there. We see Jim being his warm, playful self like he always kind of is. We see Angela's stern side coming out. You know, we see Ryan in panic. We see, let's see, who else? We have Meredith, who's just exhausted. And we see Kelly with baby fever. So, like, we get all of these things from all these different people. And I think that that's what kind of makes this episode special in that it brings out those different sides of the characters.
Yeah. And so I've been trying to sort of analyze the way that Michael acts to try and understand what is going on here. Because in later episodes, Michael talks about how much he loves babies and how good he is with babies. Mm-hmm. And then the producers cut away to scenes of him with babies and showing like he makes them stop crying. He's able to do all of these things. Babies really love him. But in this episode, he's very put off by having little kids around and like feels like he can't connect with them. And like, I try to understand that because when he walks in and, you know, Pam reminds him what's going on and he has to be a little bit more buttoned up. That seems to be the thing that's bothering him. But then he like is talking to the kids, but isn't sure exactly what to say to them. And that seems to be the thing that's bothering him. Like he doesn't know how to connect with them. And so because he can't be out in the office doing his normal antics, then he chooses to work. But it's not like a Liz Lemon thing where he's like afraid of kids and afraid of the things that they would say to him. It's like, for me, it's like, oh God, youths, just like Liz Lemon. But for him, it's more like, and that's more like in the teenage range where you have the youths. But for him, it's kind of inexplicable. Like, I have trouble understanding what exactly he's afraid of or bothered by, because if he's good with babies, then presumably the idea that like he has to watch his words wouldn't be too much of a problem. Mm-hmm. But maybe yeah, I'm just overthinking sense. Things. I'm not sure.
No, I mean, that makes sense. With babies, you don't have to watch what you say. You can just like kind of act instinctually and be like, baby, blah, 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 blah. And like, you know, lift them up and carry them. And, you know, a baby is a completely different thing like than a kid. And it's almost like Michael wants the attention because like he normally does.
Ooh, yeah.
Where he's like, oh, I can't be rated R. Like, you know, you're holding me back. Like how he's looking at how it affects him this day.
Okay.
In a selfish way, I guess. And almost like a childlike, like he reacts like a child would, like thinking of it as an attack to him. Like, oh, I'm going to be put out today because of this thing happening, when really we would expect Michael to be like, oh, he can finally be the MC, he could finally be the ringmaster of this show and be his goofy self in front of the kids because they would love it. And I think that he realizes that eventually, that he can get to be seen as like the coolest person in the office through the kids' eyes. So that's how he eventually warms up to them. But yeah, initially it's a surprising side from Michael. And I actually kind of, I was like, I think this is might be a little bit out of character.
Uh-huh.
But then I also like, I was happy to see that something different from him. And we did get to see serious work Michael, which was good. Because if you think about it, in the span of this documentary, it isn't every single day that we're seeing.
Right. You know, that's a good point. Yeah.
We're seeing the best and most interesting days, as if you would any documentary. So the normal boring days that are in between all of these exciting event days that we see, they, you know, like that could be when Michael is just his chill self. And, you know, we are seeing the extreme versions of Michael displayed by the documentary crew.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. Yeah, you wouldn't edit the show to have just as boring days. So you gotta mm-hmm. you gotta have the show set where it's showing all of his antics. And Meredith is an example of that, where we get to know Meredith as this character that is an alcoholic and is really irresponsible and sort mm-hmm. of wild and out. Mm-hmm. And we find out later on that she was also like going to school to get some degree. I don't remember what degree.
Yeah, that was like at the very, very end. She like reveals this thing, but she's like, but then she, you know, in that very later episode, she still discounts it with being like, well, I was in college as well. I was drinking. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? So she still stayed Meredith through and through. But here we get to meet Meredith's kid, which is basically he acts like a product of his upbringing and his situation. And he's a real jerk. He's a real jerk. But what I love about Jake is that this is the very first time we meet Jake. And we hear about him throughout the series. And we see him all the way through the series, and he is always the same kid.
Yes.
I love that they don't take a different kid.
So happy.
And I saw in trivia that this is Greg Daniels' kid.
No way.
Yeah. Abby, who is with Kevin, who is Kevin's like potential or soon to be stepdaughter, and Jake are both Greg Daniels' children.
What?
I know. So that's why he was in the entire series, like all the way through. But still, I can't believe like he had his own kid act like that on TV. But if you think about it, the kid is actually probably a pretty good actor.
Yeah.
And if you think about it that way. So
wow.
I do love that we will see Jake again. And it is always Jake.
Yes, I like that remains through and through.
A lot of shows do that. They'll throw in like an older kid that kind of looked like the younger kid that played them before. But we get to see Jake grow up from season 2 through season 9. So what, that's 7 years.
Yeah.
So like a 7-year difference in a kid that kind of starts off as like 10. So we get to see him like maybe he's 11 in this.
Yeah.
Until he's like 17, 18, maybe 19. Like that's kind of awesome.
It's really awesome. And it's just like a nice touch that we get to see the growth over time and that we don't have to go, okay, you know, we're suspending disbelief and mm-hmm. this person we just have to accept is the same person as who we had before. No, they were able to keep it. And that's a smart play by Greg Daniels there to have your kids be part of the show.
Yeah, because then you're sure they're not going to get another job, right?
Right. Because it's like, no, you're working for dad. Sorry.
Yeah, this is the first job you have to care about. Like, you have to be present and come back. So with Pam on her mission to like or to get another kid to like her, with Pam on her mission to get a kid to like her, we see Jim kind of also getting kids to like him very easily.
Very easily.
Yeah, he's just playing it super cool. He's just being Jim, because I guess he's also kind of a little kid, like, you know,
he is.
That whimsy about him, you know, he still has that. And Pam kind of gets a glimpse of what Jim would be like as a father. Like, you see her looking at him like that.
She's like, oh, okay, that's interesting. It's also, I think it's kind of it's funny because it's sort of competition between them, but it's also a little bit like, it makes me a little sad to see Jim like win against Pam whenever, because Pam like shoots and misses with Kevin's daughter, well, Kevin's fiance's mm-hmm. daughter, and mm-hmm. then Jim swings in and is like, oh no, I've got this, and is sort of able to get her interested in whatever it is that he's wanting to show, and Pam just like swing and a miss.
I also like that Jim gets her interest in from a kid that is kind of a lot like Pam.
Ooh.
You know, like she seems like more quiet and reserved. She was off to the side reading a book and, you know, the type of book she was reading. And
interesting.
Just, it seemed like that, you know, she was. So I feel like he was connecting with a kid that was a lot like a.
I don't know Pam. If I like that interpretation because it's getting creepy.
No, not in like that kind of a way, but just that he understands.
No, I
like,
get
he
it.
He is able to.
I just feel uncomfortable.
Okay, listen, little kid lover.
Hey, I just have that so that.
Just want to make your intentions clear.
Yeah, I just want everybody to know what I'm about. here.
Speaking of intentions, Ryan with Stanley's daughter.
Ooh, this has to be like, this is definitely a soundbite because the wrath of Stanley is just one of my favorite things.
That little girl is a child. I don't want to see you sniffing around her anymore this afternoon. Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
Boy, have you lost your mind, because I'll help you find it. What you're looking for? Ain't nobody going to help you out there. Jesus can come through that door and he's not going to help you if you don't stop sniffing after my child.
Okay.
It is such a great rant from Stanley after it's essentially his daughter's fault for flirting with Ryan.
And Kelly's
fault. Really trying. And Kelly pointed it out because she was jealous
of a child.
So it was, I mean, it's totally the kid doing, like, Ryan was trying to have nothing to do
with
it.
Yeah, he wasn't interacting with her. He was, like, sort of trying to just be very cold to her, you know, sort of distant. And the young woman was very interested in Ryan, and Kelly did not like that. So she goes and tells Stanley, and he, of course, takes it the way that Kelly sort of put it forth. And, you know, Ryan, like, tried to get across that he wasn't doing any of that, but he wasn't able to. and he just sort of rolls with the punches, I guess.
Yeah. And I just, like I said, it's everyone is having these little moments of how they would either be as parents or how they react to different children, because they're each child is very different. Mm-hmm. So you have Jake, who is like super active and kind of a jerk the entire time, except for at the very end with Pam. He gets nice and then he gets to shred paper and he's happy. And you have Abby, who's kind of quiet. You have the youngest one, which is Toby's daughter, that kind of breaks Michael out of his shell.
Which is so funny.
It's so cute. I like that moment. It's very endearing. Like it's a soft, nice moment because Michael has all those toys in his office and she comes and plays with them.
Next up, Koo Kamanga.
That does make me laugh.
It's so cute.
I'm like, I must be a kid. And then you have like Stanley's older daughter who she's all about
Melissa.
Texting and drinking, you know, 1,000 macchiatos or whatever.
You're such a dork, Ryan.
And then so you have everyone interacting and everyone's different way. Let's see. We have Phyllis being asked if she's Mother Goose. You have Creed trying to show off his four toes. We're not going to look at the four-toed Creed. And really, this whole episode comes to a painful situation. And I feel that this is probably one of the most painful scenes up there. It has to be in some of the top painful office moments that ends up towards the end of this episode.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
Yeah.
Like it changes course so dramatically. You have all these little like quips and showing everyone's personality and Angela being really harsh and Dwight getting made fun of and then trying, like all of this stuff is going on with all the kids in the office and everything's kind of like, you know, topsy turvy. And then we get Michael trying to impress the kids. And he brings it and it ends up in a really dark place.
Oof. So, yeah, this show, Fundle Bundle, is a children's television show. And it is sort of like it sort of reminds me of, oh, goodness, what's the word I'm looking
for? Lamb Chop?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I was going to say even just Sesame Street is, but yeah, certainly more like Lamb Chop. They're actually, so there's a local Scranton, like in real life, Scranton, PA show that existed that was similar to Fundle Bundle. And
really?
Yeah, and so Fundle Bundle, they wanted to get the rights to show clips from the original show, which let me find what the name of the show was. It was called Hatchie Malachi, and it aired weekdays in Scranton, and it was hosted by Miss Judy. Well,
wow.
Unfortunately, they didn't get the rights for the show, so they had to have Miss Trudy and have the show Fundle Bundle instead. But Michael was on the show when he was a kid and
dressed in a little suit.
He looked like himself as he does as an adult and a little bit like Alfalfa from The Little Rascals. And he is asked like what his favorite subject is, and he says recess. But it's so sad because then he talks about how he wants to have so many kids so that all of his kids will be his friends because he has no friends, and it's just heartbreaking. And then he gets like picked on by the kids. They're not actively picking on him. They accidentally sort of bring up a sticking point, and it's sad because Chet Montgomery got what he wanted, but Michael Scott did not.
Yeah, it all starts because Michael's just trying to impress these kids, and he says, "I was the star of a TV show," which he was a guest on a like little kind of network, or what would you say, a local, you know, like a local TV show for kids, like a PBS kind of thing.
Yep, exactly.
And then he gets interviewed by a puppet, and when he does say that, he says, "I want to be married with 100 kids so I could have 100 friends and no one can say no to being my friend."
And even the puppet is like, "Oh God."
Yeah, even the puppet has this stunned face, this long pause of silence, and as the camera pans the conference room where everyone's kind of gathered to watch this, everyone else has like this panicked look on their face. It's kind of a mix of fear, embarrassment, hurt, panic, sadness. Like everyone's feeling all of these things because this little kid said this really real, very sad thing.
Yes. And like, what do you say to that? What do you do?
Right. And so like the show kind of moved on and they're like, "Oh, wow. Thank you for joining us, Michael." And then all the kids who are visiting in the office and watching this show, they all start kind of not badgering, like you said, just questioning and grilling him a little bit. Yeah. Like
realizing that this is like a potentially a pain point for him.
Yeah.
They're just inquisitive kids, as kids are.
Yeah, asking, "Oh, are you married? You know, did you have a lot of kids? You know, oh," and then the little girl says, like, "So you didn't get
You didn't get to be what you wanted to be."
Yeah, and that's just, and Michael, he was taken aback by seeing this video because he didn't remember it properly, and he couldn't believe what he said, and it affected him too because he's seeing himself, and he feels really hurt, and he. In the face of the children, I gotta say, he tried to really gracefully retreat. Nice things, and he was like, "Oh, I have a lot of work to do. I'm just gonna grab a slice of this delicious pizza and go back to work. So see you later, kids." Like, and he is just really, I think he's having like kind of a self-reflective real moment here about evaluating his life and what he thought he wanted and where he is now. And like, was he supposed to be in his 40s?
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't have any of this and how that affects him. And so that's why I feel like this is one of the darker, more awkward situations that comes up in this lighthearted show.
Yes, absolutely.
And it comes up on this day, like a bring your daughter to work day.
You expect like shenanigans, and then this mm-hmm. hard hitting thing happens, and it's like, "Whoa, I didn't know we were going to go there. Goodness gracious."
Yeah. And again, this is a big, serious episode for Michael because we see him working seriously. We see him having this giant self-reflective realization moment where he kind of goes into like a little mini depression for the afternoon. It's hard for me to watch this scene. Not that like, because I feel affected by it personally, but I just feel so badly for Michael.
Yeah, you do. You start to hurt for Michael, and that's one of the redeeming qualities of this. Well, I shouldn't say redeeming because I like it regardless, but redeeming qualities of Michael is that despite it all, like he's still a human being and we feel for him at times. Even though he has a tendency to do some pretty awkward and cringeworthy things, like he's still human and he hurts and you see him hurt and you see him do the right things and the wrong things and just be human, I guess. And this is one of those moments where it's like, "Oh, I'm so sorry."
I think this is the biggest moment we've had like of sympathy for Michael. I think this is the first big, big one. Right.
Yeah. I think that's fair.
A big touchstone moment for our perception of Michael, the character.
And to understand like his motivations in general, like what he wants as a person. Yeah. This is.
He wants a family. He wants love. He wants friendship. It's all the things that we've been kind of
seeing,
like socially, psychologically analyzing him throughout this series with you and me as we talk through these episodes. This is all the stuff that we've been suspecting.
This is confirmation of that. Yeah.
Yeah. It really is because this is, and it does. It makes you look at the way he acts in a different light.
Absolutely.
So, in conjunction, or I should say in contrast to Michael having his down moment in his office alone, we see Roy roughhousing with Jake. And it's like Jake, Roy picks like the most obnoxious, rough, like crazy kid to kind of bond with. And he's like, Pam, I love this kid. Yes.
Like, this kid is my favorite. And they're like wrestling and stuff.
Yeah. And you see Pam witnessing this, like after she had just seen Jim being so chill and kind with Abby, we see Roy being like rough and rowdy with Jake. And you can't help but feel Pam kind of analyzing the two father figures, the potential father figures. Right.
Oh, absolutely.
That she kind of has in her mind right now.
Yeah. That, I mean, that's got to be what's going on, right? That's what's happening there. And we do see, I think, I don't know. I don't know if like what necessarily the writers were trying to portray there. Cause certainly definitely the difference between the two groups is one thing that they're portraying. They're trying to show, hey, this is how this is how, Roy would be a dad. This is how Jim would be a dad. But also it's almost like, well, dang, even Roy can connect with a kid, but Pam is having trouble doing it. And, yeah. And like, that sucks. It's like, even Roy was able to do it while Pam is like, well, I can't make it happen.
But yet at the end, we see her connecting with Jake also. Like, we have a polite moment where Jake politely asks for some candy, which is really nice, and then enjoys shredding papers with Pam. So I think that that's interesting that they chose the same kid to bond with both Roy and Pam.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah,
that had to have been like a choice, a choice in the writing. And we did not get to see Daryl's kid, even though we find out later in the series that he does have a kid, and he was in the conference room during the day for the pizza. He was upstairs. So we did not see his daughter coming to work, because if I gauged their age properly, she would have been old enough.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Should have been.
So I guess they wrote her in later after this episode.
Darn it.
The couple little funny things throughout this episode. Towards the end when Michael decides to try online dating because he's like ready to get out there, and he decides to make his screen name Little Kid Lover. So no one is, they know where his priorities are, right? That's
yes. Oh my Lord. It's so awkward. You're just like, no, Michael, please. No.
And, their sing along at the end. I thought that was pretty funny.
I love
funny.
That. If yeah. You're on the road.
And then we see, Michael has a guitar, but he doesn't know how to play it. And that kind of parallels with Jim having a guitar and also not knowing how to play it. He had it in his room during his party, and he doesn't play guitar really. And also Michael has, so there's kind of some funny parallels between Jim and Michael, and that they both have guitars or ambitions to know the guitar, but they don't. Yeah. And I also like the very, very end where Jim is off to a date, early date, and he's having a moment with Pam, and the camera catches this great, really real moment that I think has happened to all of us, where we're joking with somebody and they walk away when we didn't notice, and then you turn to say something and they're gone. Yes. I've never really seen that happen in a TV show before, but it's one of those really genuine happenings that
happens in real life.
Yeah, like the accidental like not conversation, and that feeling of oh shoot, I was talking to nobody. And that's another one of those tiny moments in this great show that bring the human side to all of these characters.
Yeah, I like that, and I think that's something that you don't necessarily pick up on unless it's pointed out to you, or you've watched something so many times that it starts to like, oh, now there are these details that we didn't necessarily pay attention to the first time around.
Yeah.
But and it's like, very human, very real.
Yeah. You watch it and you absorb it. But then I think when we're sitting down and we're analyzing it, I I love pointing out those little details that, like, that's why I love them so much. That's why I feel so close to these people. That's why I literally feel like I could be working in the office next to them. You know, it's that connection, and it's those moments that foster that connection.
Yeah. Very well put.
So is there anything else in this episode that you want to mention?
No, I mean,
oh, really, I have, like, one more.
Oh, I was going to say, like, the duet was my favorite part.
In the cold open, when we actually see a agreement between Jim and Dwight when they correct Michael about whether Superman was in Gotham City or not.
Like, that is fun. And Michael gets really annoyed. I work with a bunch of nerds.
But I don't think we've seen Jim and Dwight agree quite like that. And I thought that was a nice tiny little moment where they did.
That's like an aw, they're agreeing. That's cute.
They're both nerds, and yes. It's very, very good.
That is a good little moment there, and you get to, aw, that's cute.
All right, Mr. Sergeant, if you're nasty, can you give us our Dundee?
You can't do that this week, Tiff. It's bring your daughter to work day. Bring your child to work day.
No, you can't be nasty.
Yes. But yeah, let's go ahead and hand out the Dundee. So this week's Dundee, I'm super excited to hand out. It is the Chatty Cathy Award. And I believe that this is our first Dundee for the conference room Slack group that we're a part of. Jody Perrell has been an active member of that Slack group, dropping some serious office references, brightening our day, getting me to interact in some references and scenes in the office. And that has been just glorious, popping in there and seeing that, you know, we've got things going on, and not only are things going on, but they're hilarious things that are going on. So thank you so much, Jody. And of course, you know, next time when you leave a message, we really would love to see you use our new product, Sticky Quips, because remember, they're fun, they're safe, and they're handy. But until then, go ahead, get on up here and accept your Dundee, Chatty Cathy.
Yay. I actually think Jody only watched it through one time, because I'm scrolling back into our conference room over there on the Incomparable member Slack. And he just says, I just finished my first watch through, and that was August 5th.
Whoa.
So
welcome to the club.
I think, and I'm really impressed with the references that are being thrown out, knowing that it was his first full watch through.
Yeah.
And,
wow.
And he's picking up on some crazy deep cuts, and I enjoy every single one of them.
So. Wow. That is, yeah, good for you. Yeah. Now, if you would like to be a part of that whole fun, if you'd like to hang out with us in the conference room, I'm going to go ahead and leave a link in the show notes for you. You can click on that. It's just going to say the Incomparable membership. So you become a member to the Incomparable. That gets you access to the Slack. I believe you get a few goodies like stickers and things like that at the end of the year. Yeah. And access to the special bonus feed and bootlegs of certain episodes or certain shows on the Incomparable. So there's lots of good stuff to check
out.
It's
not just our show. It's the entire Incomparable network that you kind of get access to, but you know you're coming for us. So
yes,
okay.
You're coming to hang out with us in the conference room, but you'll get some goodies to go along with that. So thanks so much. Tiff, where can people like find us and get in touch with us?
They could definitely find us over at tall_beats on Twitter, and you can find us on iTunes podcast situation if you want to drop some reviews. We have a lot of reviews over there. I was pretty excited about that. I was kind of trolling them for some Dundee fodder, and I was really pleased. it's great. So yeah, you can find us over there, over in the Incomparable Slack, like you just said. And we are still continuing that Michael Scott nickname contest, and we have a couple participants who keep on trying their
darndest.
Yeah, their quippiest to come up with some names for me and Micah. So keep them coming, and we will we will see you next week back at the office.